Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by HVU Insider. I am Jim Galante. He is Happy Valley United Executive Director Mike Villagrana. Mike, how are we doing this week?
Another great week. Time's fine. I was just talking to my wife yesterday. I was like, can't believe it's already May. And like right around the corner, now you got all these meetings going on. You got the ACC meetings, right? I think Big Ten or SEC meetings are this week coming up. So it's that time. And then, you know, next thing you know, we're going to be talking like football is right around the corner, right? And then we're going to be having our countdowns of like when to the game. It's going fast. It's going real fast.
It really is. So much going on. And it's funny, you mentioned those meetings. I'm getting fascinated right now. And this is not a topic that we had on our agenda for today. But with all these conferences now seem to be picking up on the idea of a 24-team playoff. And every time I see that from somebody, I always think, what's the ulterior motive? So it's like the coaches association, they want 24-team. Well, of course they do. They want more coaches to be able to say, hey, I made the playoffs. And I think for these conferences, for a lot of them, it's the same thing. They want to say, hey, we're the ACC. We got X number of teams to make the playoffs and be able to brag about it, Mike.
Yeah, this is an interesting topic. I know it's such a hot topic out there. Some things I really dive into and some things I really don't. This one I really don't dive into because I think it's inevitable that it's going to be 24 teams. And I'm on the side where it's like more football games in postseason is more money, more excitement. It's just good for everything, right? FCS has been doing it forever. That works out. It's a great product. It doesn't dilute the regular season. Like it's going to be good. It's just new. And then when there's change, everybody wants to have an opinion, and that's good. But I just think the opinion of not wanting it at 24 and because it would dilute the regular season, I don't think that's going to happen as people really think it will. I think people are still going to go to the games. They're going to still be really excited about game one to game 12. And then they're going to have more opportunity later in the season to put themselves in a position so they're in the playoffs, right? Yeah, and there's a lot of other caveats of, you know, if the team is 12-0 or 11-0 going to the last game, do they want to, you know, rest a player potentially or something like that? Guys, like, that's not a big deal. Like, 24, like, that is awesome. Like, that is awesome. So I'm excited about it. I think it is funny to your point. You know, you have the SEC who really doesn't want the 24 teams because then that's going to hurt their chances of getting the SEC teams in there, right? Well, it's going to happen. I think that power that of the SEC is slowly diminishing a little bit because now you have the ACC coming in, like they came out of Amelia Island and saying they want the 24. Right, of course they do because they have an ACC championship team that didn't make it to the playoffs. So they want it. Obviously, the Big Ten wants it, and everybody else wants it other than the SEC. So it's going to be interesting to see the back and forth, the politics. But I am on the side. I like football. I like college football. I love postseason college football. I was when I was playing, and it was only like, you know, two teams or four teams. I was like, man, this really sucks because like if you're on a team like me, I was in West Virginia. We're kind of the mid, you know, you had to have a really good year. And like one game will take you out of, you know,
contention.
Contention to go to the BCS games or something like that. Well, this creates a platform where one loss, okay, that happens. Two losses, that happens. Or three losses, maybe. And then you get to look and have fun at like, all right, who were those losses versus? And then you still have the potential to get into the playoffs. I think it's a good thing. So long story short, because I, you know me, I tell you how I listen to talk radio. That's all I listen to every day. My wife makes fun of me. And that's all I've listened to. I'm like, guys, why are we still talking about this? Let's talk about a bargaining agreement. Let's talk about the stuff that, like, let's get college football the business out of it straight. But this is part of it, right? Because it's so much money.
It is. And as I said, everybody has the ulterior motive. ESPN is tied to the Southeast Conference. Gee, crazy. ESPN doesn't want, they have, whether it's 12 or 16 teams, it's locked into ESPN. Fox is associated with the Big Ten, that they want a piece of it. And the only way to do that is to get to 24 teams. So, you know, the money is always the ulterior motive. But looking at it from a fan perspective, what's funny is I've always been traditionally against the 24 teams, thinking it was too many. If it could go from 12 to 16, I was good with it. And then I'll tell you what, a conversation that kind of turned me on it, and I think I'm allowed to talk about it now because it's been so long. If you recall, you and I, we chatted with Andy Frank on this show. Okay.
Yep.
And we, I don't know if you recall, we had a conversation after the show, off the air with him. And I think he's gone. He's at Virginia Tech, so I guess I could talk about it. And we talked about that 2014 playoff. And he gave what I thought was one of the best arguments for it when he talked about when the James Franklin staff, including him, were at Vanderbilt. And he said, you know, we did really well, got up to 9-3 record, but we couldn't even sniff a 4-team playoff. We wouldn't make a 12-team playoff, but at 24 teams, it all of a sudden would have given us hope and a chance. And all of a sudden, you would open up opportunity to so many more teams. It's kind of like, you know, if you talk about Penn State and basketball, with a 64-team tournament, now 76 or whatever, in theory, Penn State basketball could make the tournament. They have. But if it were a small, a 4-18 tournament, there was no chance of it. You know, making a short story long by saying, I think giving the opportunity to more teams to make it, and as far as it diluting the regular season, do you really think Michigan versus Ohio State in the last game of the season, when both teams have a playoff locked up, you really think they're going to sit their people and not go all out to win the game?
Yeah. I mean, what's the difference between like the NFL fan that loves the NFL regular season and they, you know, you're playing these teams twice a year. Like it doesn't make sense.
Well, and it does. And I'll tell you the other thing about the 2014 playoff that I like, Mike, is the way it would go is the top 8 teams would get a bye, which would be attractive and something to play for in the regular season. The, you know, teams number 9 through 24, there would be 8 games. The next 8 get a home playoff game, which is phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Then after that game, guess what? Those 8 teams that got the bye, they would get a home playoff game. Yep. And as a fan, Mike, I feel like a home playoff game is the greatest thing going. Yes, I want a weekend with 8 good college football games, but also give me a home playoff game.
Yeah, the home playoff games is the best thing for college football, and that's where the playoffs they screw that up when the teams with the bye, they kind of were at a disadvantage because they didn't get that home game right for playing well,
right?
And think about all the revenue that they lost out on that for playing good.
Yes.
And those other teams get that home game and. Now you get to fill the 107,000 Beaver Stadium with fans. You know how much money goes, or you know how important those days are in
these games.
So that is a big change. That I agree 100% with you, Jim.
You were already in town for the Penn State SMU playoff game, right?
Yeah, freezing.
It was one of the coldest days ever, and there was concern that the stadium wouldn't be filled. Well, guess what? Not only was it filled, tailgating was still great. I remember having a phenomenal time. The crowd had a great time. So even under those terrible conditions, it was a wonderful thing. And I know, I feel like the fan base is the last thing that the folks in power worry about when they make these decisions. But a home playoff game is a special treat for the fans.
Oh, it's the best, right? It takes you back to, like, if you're a high school sicko, like, you grow up, you know, playing high school in a small town. Like those playoff games are huge. Yeah. It has that vibe. It's a different vibe. It's exciting, right? If you go to any kind of postseason in professional sports, it's different, right?
Yes.
Like the NBA, they always talk about NBA games, regular season versus the postseason. It's so much better. It's like a show going to it. The NHL games are completely different. Those are always fun, the postseason. Postseason is just so different. And then you bring it to a campus, man, it is awesome. And even though it was so cold that day for SMU, it was still an awesome environment. And not only was it cold, but the environment had a lot to do why Kevin Jennings, who is one of the best quarterbacks in the country, returning this year, you know, struggled. I think we had, what, two picks? Or did he have two picks? Dom had a pick. Tony had a pick six. After Tony took that back, I mean, it was warm in there. I mean, it was awesome. That thing was pumping.
It was watching that, I said, why isn't he also playing on offense as a two-way player? If you remember, his return was so special.
Yeah. Well, that's a funny story because I remember because we recruited him at Virginia Tech, and I remember his high school tape. I'm like, damn, he's a really good running back. Almost like when you watch like Micah's tape, he's like, man, you could play running back. But hey, I wanted to bring up something real quick, Jim.
Yeah, go ahead.
You brought up, you know, it's all about money. Well, on Sports Talk Radio, I was listening and I heard this good point. I thought it was interesting. He talked about how, like, when these companies and these organizations, they start going away from what's truly good for the fan. And then in what history shows, he brought up like NASCAR, how NASCAR, it used to be in this country, really kind of like baseball was one. And then it was like really kind of NASCAR. And then, and then football really kind of, right, when it comes to popularity, like they have 200,000, you know, racetracks that they're selling out all the time. Well, then they got cute and they wanted to, you know, generate more money out of it. And then they took it away from the fans. And this is all from, you know, Chris Childers and ride show. And I thought it was really a good point. And now it's, you know, it's barely anything what it was. Right. And so because they took away from the fan, and the point that they brought up was the Savannah Bananas, because all that owner cares about is the fan. He's going up in the level 500 seats and saying, how can I make this experience for this fan just as good as the experience from behind home plate? I think that's really interesting.
It is a good point. I'd like to pick up something with that. We'll do it right after this break.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform, providing exclusive recruiting intel. The first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent. Led by Mike B and powered by Penn State students, it's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free. Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello, and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by HVU Insider. I'm Jim Galante. With me, the architect of HVU Insider, Mike Villagrana. Hey, Mike. HVU Insider, real quick, tell our listeners about it and how they could get a hold of all that information you offer.
Yeah, so we're in week 11 of rolling out our new platform. HVU Insider, think of Happy Valley United, as we always, you explained to the fans, that it's Penn State's collective, right? And I'm fortunate enough to be in the position I am where, you know, I'm able to kind of take on this initiative. So, you know, there's been a lot of changes through collectives and third parties and whatnot, but then Happy Valley made a smart decision, I thought, of, you know, really kind of pivoting towards a media agency. And that's what collectives are, right? To be able to, you know, give these kids opportunities in media so that they can get paid in return. And, you know, it's all of that system, right? And so it's a good platform. It covers recruiting. We just relaunched our entire website. So it's a nice fresh look. If you guys go in there, you can go in there, you can look how you can support. And really how you support is you just go on the website. It's Happy Valley United. It's Happy. It's HVU Insider. That's the recruiting arm that I'm kind of taking on. And you can go on there and there's always a sweepstakes at the top. Once you get on there, you'll see there's sweepstakes right now for two winners. You enter to you enter your entries to win two tickets to the West Shore Avalon event on June 22nd. And last year was my first time there, and it is unbelievable. Wendy Hoover puts on this event in West Shore, or excuse me, in New Jersey, and it is an unbelievable event. Coach Campbell, the staff, the players will be there, and it's really kind of just like a get together. It's not really. You go there and it's a whole program. It's really kind of like you go there, you just really get to hang out, and there's all kinds of like stuff there, and you get to golf. But anyways, that's just one part of the website. You go on there, you enter, it's free to sign up. You just sign up, first name, last name, email, and then you get points. And with those points, the more points and active you are on the website, you can put in more entries for those tickets, and it's free, right? So there's articles, there's recruiting stuff, there's a message board stuff on there. Obviously, I'm on there talking about recruiting, which is really cool. So and that's what we're doing. And so we're about at 5,000 people have signed up, which is awesome, right? I can't thank enough people, but we're just getting started, and it's not even a smooth thing yet. There's so many people going out. I just had a call with Kajana Carter, A-Rob, and we're going to be rolling out a kind of a Letterman series thing for fans, which is going to be really neat. When you bring in past Letterman or, you know, current NFL players that played here and talk about recruiting, right? And talk about that position, right? Listen to that. And what's really cool about it is to listen and talk to Kajana about, you know, Aiden Gibson, the running back that just committed. It's pretty cool. And then talk about Aiden and how it's different now versus, you know, when Kajana played. Kajana had this pretty cool story how he was saying how he was about to leave after freshman year. And then talking about how like NIL is different and what it means. And then you get those two talking together, that just strengthens that connection for the fans, for the Letterman, right? And then you're really rooting for them. It's kind of like their show premise, right? You come to our show, you feel connected to the players, right? It's kind of the same thing, but just a different way, right? Which is really neat. So, yeah, to get A-Rob on there talking about receiver games and the guys that we're playing, and it's going to be pretty neat. So, yeah, we got a club. It's going to be called the 814 Club, and that's just kind of another arm. But not to get too long-winded, Jim, I could talk forever on it, but there's so many different things that we're going to be doing off of it that's going to provide access and information and engagement with me, players, the staff, former players. So it's really cool. It's fun. It's new. I'm having fun. You know, 11, like I said, we're in week 11, and we're halfway to what our goal of 10,000 signups is. So we're on pace to do it. I don't know what the heck. I'm like I told you, I'm like Ron Burgundy. I just kind of tell me what to do. Hey, you got to go do this. You got to do that. All right, cool. I can talk football.
Well, that's the thing. You talk football, which is the best part about it. You and I, whether we get together on the air, off the air, over a beer, we're always talking football. I always learn something from you, so I appreciate it. Again, just go to happyvalleyunited.com and follow it, and you just sign up with an email address. It's free to get so much of this information. Let's circle back to what we were talking about in quarter one. And you mentioned talking about with NASCAR and getting away from what it was supposed to be about, you know, about the fans. And we were talking about the potential for a 2014 playoff. And I'm beginning to veer that way. And I think maybe the biggest point to it is on that weekend where we used to get a handful of conference championship games, we would actually get 8 playoff games, which is phenomenal for the fan.
Oh, it's awesome. The lineup, I don't know if you saw the lineup with the Christmas and Thanksgiving lineup for NFL.
Yes.
It's unbelievable. NFL's taken over Christmas and Thanksgiving. It's on steroids now. That's kind of what this is. Like, it's just good. It's fun. And now, but what what they're fixing, which is good, is that they're fixing the length of it, right? That's what they're going to be talking about here in the next coming weeks, right? It's the playoffs is great, but there was too much time between the last game of the season to the first game. And then why is there, and everybody, just the common sense stuff, why is there so much time in between playoff rounds, right? And then you have the academic calendar, which is different for every team. You have the portal, right? And then what's the other caveat that I'm missing? I'm missing one more. There's so much stuff jumbled up right there.
And I think also, Mike, they were humoring the bowl games. You know, it's, oh, well, the bowl games have to be, you know, the Rose Bowl has to be January 1st at 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock, you know. And they were acquiescing to them instead of making the schedule which it should be. And yes, they were losing out because it was too long between rounds. And the NFL starting, you knew exactly when the NFL playoff games were every week. And they got to do a better job with that. Hey, Mike, how about we shift gears now and get to what we were actually planning to talk about, which is recruiting, your sweet spot there. This past week, three commits, two running backs, one quarterback, one lost four-star quarterback to James Franklin and Virginia Tech. Just another example of how it never ends. There's no off season, especially with recruiting going on.
No, that's why people like the casual fan, or, you know, I run into somebody at maybe one of my kids' games and we're just talking or something. And like, hey, so is this kind of a slow time for you? I'm like, no, not really. You know, like, since I've been like in this area, this space, whether it's recruiting or in this collective now, you know, recruiting is, it's 365, man. It keeps getting emphasized more and more every year. And NIL definitely had a hand in that, you know, emphasizing and making it even more attractive and important year round. But yeah, it's year round, man. And you can't get away from college football. That's why, like, me and you, we joke, but we can talk about anything right now. Like, there's so much to talk about with college football right now. But with the recruiting part, you know, this is kind of, to me, this is what is happening. It's kind of on par what you would want to happen with this. New regime come in. Coach Campbell comes in. Right, you would like to see some type of recruiting tick, and he's done that. Him, Hoosier, and the staff, they've come in, they put in a plan, they stuck to their philosophy of recruiting, and everything's falling in place right now for them. You know, we got 18 commits. I think it was said that we're going to be taking somewhere around maybe 30 commits, which is great, plus, you know, a handful of portal guys come the end of the season, depending on what the roster looks like. So that's a healthy take, right? You're bringing in 30 new kids plus a handful of portal kids after the season. And the commitments, I think you're seeing, I alluded to it last week, that, you know, a lot of the guys that, you know, the recruiting services have ranked as like three stars, I think it will become four stars. And I think you saw that in Jameer Dean, who was elevated from a three to a four star this week. I think you'll see that with a handful of guys. You know, Blake Benton, who I've been talking about a ton, is a three-star. There's no way he'll be a three-star at the end of the day. I think the Ryan Robbins kid is a three-star out of Upper St. Clair, who we beat out Ohio State in Indiana. I've talked about that last week. I think he'll be a four-star. So there's just like, my point is that there's a handful of these guys that are really good three stars and really good early evaluations by the staff and good takes. I really like it.
Well, you had mentioned when we talked about Jameer Dean committing, he's the wide receiver from Tennessee. And at the time you had said, no way this kid stays a three star. He will ultimately be a four star. And sure enough, that did happen. Now, this past week, it was fascinating to watch the quarterback recruiting, and we'll get to Mike's scouting report on the new Penn State quarterback commit. We will get to that, but it's just so different the quarterback recruiting versus any other position, because typically now you're not going to get two quarterback commits in the same class. Not typically, because you, like we saw with the running back, the quarterback position is unique in recruiting, Mike.
Yeah, and the timing's unique too, right? Like, this is like prime time right now for quarterbacks to make decisions, right? Because they want that spot, and colleges want that spot secured with their guy. So, because a lot of the times that guy is going to be big time recruiters for them, right? Who, like, if you're recruiting a big time wide receiver, that family and the people around them and that kid want to know who the quarterback's going to be, right? So that's a big piece. And it's just like, it's like dominoes. Like, one guy commits somewhere and that kind of, you know, lets the dominoes kind of fall in place after that. And I think that's what you saw. And it kind of started when Will Mentzel, if you guys remember, was on an official visit not too long ago, had a great visit. I remember talking to the mom.
Yep.
She was very appreciative, very nice lady. They had a very, very good visit. Then he ends up committing to Oregon, I think maybe 2 weeks later after that visit. And really, like, I think after the break, we'll talk about kind of like what they have to do and what they're considering versus another position.
Okay, let's do that right after this break.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform providing exclusive recruiting intel, the first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent. Led by Mike V, empowered by Penn State students, it's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free. Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Mike, Executive Director of Happy Valley United. And Mike, we were finally getting into the recruiting week that Penn State had. And we're talking quarterback recruiting. You know, let's just put the names out there. You were mentioning this whole cycle for Penn State really started several weeks ago with Will Mentzel making the decision for Oregon. Now, he's an Arizona guy from out west, so kind of not really a surprise. I think Oregon was favored most of the time. But then it became Peter Bork, 4-star from Massachusetts, and Will Wood, a 3-star quarterback, ironically also from Massachusetts, who were the two names. And interestingly enough, also, the competition for Peter Bork was Penn State, Virginia Tech, an old friend, James Franklin, and Georgia, an obvious Southeast Conference powerhouse. Let's talk about that recruitment a little bit, because it's so educational how this quarterback recruiting works. And we had so many stories going on about who was ready to pay him more. Did Penn State and Georgia lose interest in him? Did he lose interest in Penn State? That's pretty typical anymore with these quarterback recruiting stories, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. Look at it as like the NFL and free agency. When a quarterback is a free agent and like he's a coveted free agent, he's going to go to places that make sense for him, right? He's going to go to places to visit to see if it makes sense for him, right? And that's how I kind of look at this thing now, like purely from a business standpoint, because that's what these guys are making huge business decisions, because they're getting so much money right off the bat. And they got to go in the system. There's a lot of pressure on these kids, right, to succeed. So they got to go in a system that makes sense for them. They want to go in a room that they're going to be able to play soon enough. And then the money needs to make sense, and the package that they're asking for needs to make sense for them, and also for the other school. So all three of those things have to align. And it's different. The value for each quarterback based on their situation is going to be different for each school. So what Peter Bourque looked like to Georgia and how valuable getting him may look a little different at Virginia Tech and Blacksburg, right? Versus what it looks like in here at State College, right? So there's that game, right? There's that chess, right? There's Virginia Tech saying, hey, you're not the number one guy at Georgia, right? They're waiting out on player A and B, right? And yeah, then they're saying, hey, Virginia, or they're saying, hey, Penn State, they offer Will Wood, right? You're not their top guy. You're our top guy, and we're going to compensate you like you're our top guy. And I'm not saying like I know that for a fact, but that's what happens, right? So that I think is what actually did happen in this situation. I think once Peter Bourque was still making his business decision, because he definitely loved it here, it definitely kicked it off with Coach Waters, Coach Campbell, Mauser, and the staff. And obviously we're in a really good position where if we want to play, we can get them, not at the expense of the entire cap, but I think he was still laboring on his decision, but we as a program had to have depth at that position just in case. And I spoke on this at the running back position a couple weeks ago. I think what the staff has done on the boards is create depth. So if the number one and two guy is off the board, it's really not a drop off. We take the third and fourth guy. All right. So they were creating depth. They evaluated Will Wood a while ago. They ended up offering him. And so Will Wood became our guy that we wanted. And then I think it really was just a race between Virginia Tech and Georgia. And I just think at the end of the day, I don't think Georgia wanted to ante up what Virginia Tech was going to pay.
Well, there's some of this. And anytime a player, and especially a quarterback, doesn't choose your school, it's, well, we didn't want him anyway, or he wasn't worth what he was asking for. There's always that kind of response. And in this one, you add the layer of NIL and the fact that it was James Franklin at Virginia Tech. What you hear was, oh, James Franklin is being spiteful. He was going to spend whatever it took to make sure he went there instead of Penn State. I want to throw a theory out to you that's a little different. Is, I think he holds more value to Virginia Tech than he does to Georgia or Penn State, which is kind of what you alluded to. But from James Franklin's standpoint, it's not just he would be their number one guy that they want at Virginia Tech. But I think also for James Franklin to say, here we were up against Penn State and we beat them. We were up against Georgia, a Southeast Conference power, and we beat them also. He could go use that part of his recruiting shtick when he goes to the next guy. So I think there's a value to James Franklin and Virginia Tech that probably wasn't there to Georgia or Penn State. So if it even means spending that extra dollar, it may be worth it more to him than the other places.
Yeah, it's such a tricky game from a business standpoint, because like a lot of the things that you just said like are really good headlines, but like Coach Franklin breaking the bank for a quarterback just to win optically, like he can't do that because Penn State, they already got, you know, it's already out there in the social media world that we weren't good with the money here this past season, right? Well, he's not going to do and go make a mistake and at the expense of the entire roster, right? Like that just doesn't make sense. Coach Franklin's a smart guy. Like he's gonna make sure that he's compensated well and he is their number one guy, because it definitely was important for him, because it's a good take for them. Peter Bourque was a good player. But it's gonna be interesting how the development with Ethan Grunkmeyer, right, affects the retainment of Peter Bourque. And just before we got on this call today, I heard Jim Nagy, he's the GM for Oklahoma, talk about how the biggest problem for GMs is the retainment of the freshmen. right? And we talked about it. It's out there. But that is something that I think college football and all this reform, I think that's going to be something, because it is a problem, Jim. Like, you can't bring in a Peter Bork and pay him $1 million or $2 million and he's sitting there, right? And then he's not playing, and then you just wasted $2 million of your cap in 1 year.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up this way, because not to dwell on Virginia Tech, but Mike, I think they're the perfect example of this. And I don't know if you've looked at their roster, their quarterback roster. I have. And let me present it to you, and you could tell me, right? It's a very young room. It's Ethan Grunkmeyer, redshirt sophomore. He's got 3 years of eligibility left.
Right.
I think the assumption is he's going to be the guy. They also brought in a transfer, Bryce Baker from North Carolina.
Big time high school kid.
Yeah, I'm thinking he came in.
I think coming out of high school.
He expects to play, and he's a redshirt freshman with 4 years left, okay? Then you have Troy Hunt, who you and I met.
Yeah.
And just fell in love with the kid. I thought, you know, that doesn't necessarily make him a great player, but and James Franklin took him. He was a Penn State commit, so he's coming to Virginia Tech now. And, you know, just in talking to the kid, he seemed like a confident kid, a kid who could do the job. Well, he's got 5 years, essentially, of eligibility left.
Yeah.
They had a holdover by the name of Keldon Ryan, who's a redshirt freshman. So these four guys have 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, and 4 years of eligibility left. And now you bring in Peter Bork, a very highly regarded, you know, incoming freshman. All those guys are still going to be there when Peter Bork arrives. There's no way in the world that they all are going to stay. And I would put the over-under on number of quarterbacks transferring from Virginia Tech at 2.5, okay? I think you're going to have two or three guys have to transfer. And that's not – I know it probably sounds like a criticism of James Franklin, but, you know, it may be, hey, he'll just settle it, let them settle it on the field, best guy plays. But the problem is, Mike, the point that you bring up, now in the world of NIL – you're paying a lot of money to all of these guys because they all came in highly regarded.
Yeah, that's the biggest problem. And honestly, Jim, it's the standard, really, kind of across the country, because you need depth at the position because you don't know how everybody's going to develop, right? So you need to bring in and recruit highly touted high school players. And if you have a big gap between young and old, then you're going to potentially maybe look at a portal guy to come in. And it's just it's tough for every GM and every head coach out there to handle this, specifically at this room, because those guys are asking for the most money, or they demand the most money right now. It's tough. There's no science to it. It's always evolving because you got to look at who is gonna, like Ethan Grunkmeyer. Like to me, he's a dude. I think he's a dude. And he has 3 years left, right?
Yes.
Bryce Baker, he was he was like the number one kid coming out of high school. I'm sure he wasn't coming at a discount. Kuhn, our guy that we interviewed, loved him. He's a big dude. I remember the Keldon Ryan kid as I was leaving. I remember him. I think he's out of Texas. He was a really talented kid. You want that problem, but at the same time, like, it is a financial issue that you got to be careful with, and then you have to project, and you got to have some serious conversations, be very transparent with everybody in that room and their parties, because they're all thinking it. Like, you know, Troy's mom is thinking, man, like, all right, they just signed this guy, what's that mean for Troy? You know, everybody's doing that. And everybody in the country has that issue. You just got to be smart about it. There's no perfect formula for it, because every room's different and everybody has a different philosophy with the quarterback position, how many they should take every year. who they should take, what kind of quarterback should they take. That it's just different everywhere you go.
It is. We're going to shift to the Penn State quarterback room when we come back.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform providing exclusive recruiting intel, the first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent. Led by Mike B, empowered by Penn State students, it's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free. Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by HVU Insider. It's quarter four of our show. I'm Jim, he's Mike. Mike, as we talk about every week, there's so much to get into. We're talking about quarterback recruiting. We're going to get, before this segment ends, we're going to get some scouting reports from you. But now the Penn State quarterback room, it's instead of Peter Bork, who you talked about, good quarterback, earned that 4 stars, it's now Will Wood, a 3-star, and there's so much that goes into this quarterback recruiting, not just the individual player, but now the room. You alluded to this. The Penn State room is both top-heavy and bottom-heavy by grades. It's Rocco Beck and Connor Barry, who came in the transfer. They're both in their last year of eligibility. After that, it's Mansky, redshirt freshman, Peyton Falzone and Case Evans, both true freshmen, and then Will Wood coming in. So this may be the place where maybe next season you'll be looking at an upperclassman transfer coming in just to get some experience in the room.
Yeah, I agree. It's going to be interesting. I think I talked about it last week, is the development of the room right now during this, you know, the offseason right now going into the season. That's going to be interesting. That's something for fans to watch. Obviously, Rocco's the guy, but to hear the rumblings and listening, or how is the other guys in the room developing? That's going to be telling of where Hoosier and the staff goes in the offseason. Because if those guys are developing, and you know, somebody's like seems like the obvious guy to take over for Rocco, then you know, you don't really have to put so much emphasis in the portal. You can put more of your resources and stock into Will Wood, right? But if not, then you're right. They're going to have to go in and get some experience. Is that a number one or a guy that is just going to be a depth number two type of player? That's all depends on the development of these guys, right? It's a good position, I think, that we're in, because, you know, versus like having a younger quarterback at the starting quarterback position, you're not, you know, you're not like having to worry about, well, is he going to leave? Is he going to enter the draft? You know, he's gone, right? So you know you have to address that in the offseason with a guy. So I think the staff's doing a good job. Will Wood, which we talked about in the first previous quarters, is a great pickup for them. The staff made him a priority. With the dominoes falling, Will Mentzel going in and committed to Oregon, I think that's when they really, I could be wrong, but I think that I feel like that's when they really made Will Wood a
priority.
Yeah. And he is a gunslinger. He's got a smooth delivery. He is a winner. He's a multi-sport athlete. He competes in track as well. That area of football is well coached, especially at the quarterback position. A ton of quarterbacks come out of that region. But he's a good one. He's a good young talent with a high ceiling. He's not like the guy who's going to crush you with his legs. No, but he's smart and he's savvy with his legs in the pocket. He can, you know, do things outside of the pocket. He's got a great arm, man. Like, great arm. I'm really excited about him. And I can see why the staff made him a priority.
Well, let's get the scouting report on Will Wood. Just a couple of the numbers. He's 6'2", 220, sturdy, maybe not the tallest guy. A 3-star with most of the rating systems. ESPN, I think, has him as a 4-star. proven winner. I think it's back-to-back state championships. But here's a statistic. To me, Mike, this is crazy if this is true. It's reported last season in high school, he threw for 42 touchdowns and one interception. Really?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think the number
That's crazy.
Yeah. And I think when you talk to this staff and you ask them, you know, what's really fun about this right now is we're finding out what the staff looks for. And when you talk to them about the quarterback position, you know, usually Hoosier and the staff, it'll give me a couple of traits that they look for. The number one trait was production, right? So they'll take production over maybe a physical attribute because it's proven, right? And I love that. And like the fact that, all right, this guy has thrown for over 40 touchdowns. This guy can whip it around. You know, there's no, oh, can he do this? No, he's proven it. As a junior, he's proven it. So it's really exciting to see this guy's production. But yeah, you know, that's funny that you brought that up because I didn't even think about that. But that's, yeah, I remember asking Hoosier, you know, what's he looking at quarterbacks? This is a while back. And he's like, number one thing is production. Right. And that's exactly what this kid brings to the table, as you alluded to, 40 touchdowns. It's pretty good.
And like I said, and only one interception. You know, the other part of this conversation is, you know, the star rankings and a lot of fans, that's, as we've talked about for a long time, that's all they look at. But I also think, Mike, in rating 4-star versus 3-star with quarterback, I told you a story that, you know, at one point, I asked someone who knows this type of thing, what's the difference between a 4-star and 3-star quarterback? And he held the thumb and index finger 2 inches apart, you know, yeah. And I think we're talking about Trace McSorley. Mm-hmm. If you're 6'2", like Will Wood versus 6'4", like Peter Bork, they notice that. It's also if Peter Bork has an advantage over Will Wood, it sounds like he's got the bigger arm. Which, again, those are things that are kind of easy to measure. Height, obviously, bigger arm, but looking for those other things, including the intangibles. And Matt Campbell has talked about these things in a quarterback. Those intangibles, the grit, the toughness, the ability to make a play. I'll throw in another one, being a winner. And it sounds like this guy's a winner.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's huge. The makeup around the quarterback position is so important, right? Just like you said, Coach Campbell wants grit, wants a guy that, like, he talked about Rocco Beck throwing, you know, I think he threw like 3 or 4 picks or something in one half. He was able to talk to him about it. And he comes out the second half and like kills it or something. I forget what game that was, but yeah, you need a quarterback that has some, you know, tenacity to him. The it factor, we talk about it.
Yes.
It's hard to recruit. You think you can recruit it, but you don't really know until that kid is around and in the locker room and you see how players are attracted to that player and kind of, you know, does that player bring other players up? You know, like that's an it factor, that you want to see. And usually kids with high production and that are winners, proven winners in high school, coming into that position, usually have that it factor. So I'm excited about Will. It's pretty interesting, you know, too, that, you know, he was sitting behind Hasselback. If you old timers remember the Matt Hasselback, those guys, his son, it might have been one of the Hasselback sons, was in front of him before he got the starting position. He's playing at UCLA now. But I did hear comparisons. I don't know if I completely agree with it, but comparisons to Trace. I think Trace was a little bit more mobile, but he's got that it factor, this kid that, you know, we talk about, which Trace definitely had.
All right, we've got a few minutes left. Let's hit on the running backs. Two commitments this week, one day after the other. I think if nothing else, it tells us Matt Campbell is looking to play multiple running backs, but one of them was Aiden Gibson, 4-star, 6'1", 212 out of South Carolina. Mike, I remember you, man, it was like a month or two ago when we were looking at the running back possibilities. This guy was at the top of your list.
Yeah, him and Walker, I believe, were the two of my favorites. This was kind of coming when, like, Keemon Spell committed to Georgia. And then I was like, guys, look, this room, like they had five guys on in that list that were all very close to committing and all very talented. The one that kind of surprised me was Chukwu. So his commitment, he kind of was kind of a sleeper. The staff did a really good job managing that recruitment there. Kid out of New Jersey, both kids coming from huge programs. And that's another thing that I've talked about. You want to see when you take commitments, where they're coming from. Is it good ball? Is it good competition? That checks the box off these two. So, and they're both very similar, right? So they're both, they're the bigger backs. They're not, you're not going to see them winning, you know, 100 meter dash maybe. That is kind of unfair to say that because they do have juice. But they're not like the speed demons that, that maybe some schools have want, but they're the all around backs that you want in a program. I remember talking to the running backs coach about Aiden Gibson. Is like his sophomore season, he had so much production in the receiving game that it like that makes him so much more valuable. He has really good hands, so it makes him more versatile to do things with Aiden in the backfield. But if you look at both of their films, they're downhill running backs. They have some twitch to them. They have some burst to them. Their contact balance, which I think is something that this staff values a lot, you can see both are elite on film. They both, they're not going to go down on the first contact. And, you know, they're going to be able to get you those extra yards. That's kind of the, it seems like the running theme of this offense is what we're kind of going to see from Penn State's offense in the coming years is downhill running back. We want to be tougher than you. Running back or offensive line coach, Coach Clanton, says we want to move you. There's not going to be a lot of the cute stuff that you see in gimmicky type of offenses. I think this is just downhill coming at you. We want to be tougher than you. We want to be grittier than you. And they're recruiting the running back position that way. And you're getting two really good running backs in Odu and Aiden Gibson. So I'm really excited about these guys. Really excited.
And I did a little bit of looking at Odu's numbers. He averaged almost 10 yards a carry as a sophomore and had a big sophomore season. His last year, junior year, his numbers weren't the same, but he missed a few games for injury. Oftentimes that hurts them in the star rating.
Yeah, because he wasn't on the field. But he did get a bunch of offers still. Like, he's still going to get rated highly. I could see him being a four-star kid at the end of the day because, really, I don't see much of a difference between him and Aiden. They're very similar backs. They're big. They're the big type of north-south backs. And I say that. That's a little bit unfair. I don't want to say, make it seem like it's a knock because they can't get sideline to sideline. They're good. You know,
but they're also big and physical.
Yeah. But, yeah. Odu coming from having those numbers his sophomore years at Paramus Catholic, that's big time. You know, he had offers from Miami, Auburn, and some other schools. So that alone usually gets you another star. I think that's i.e. Jameer Dean getting offered by Georgia after he committed to us, then he gets bumped.
That's got to be the final word. Thanks, Mike. Make sure y'all join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform providing exclusive recruiting intel, the first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent. Led by Mike B and powered by Penn State students, it's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free.